session number 19055, Reel 1.
Brigadier Rendell, Reel 1, where were you born, please?
I was born in London, in North London, in 1920.
Which part of North London?
It was Fairholt Road. I can't tell you the part of North London. It's very near the old Middlesex Museum, which was where the Post Office Museum was, and I can't remember. Something Park. I can't remember. I know it was Fairholt Road.
Did you grow up in London and have your education in London?
Yes, in North London. We moved to Edgware, which is in Middlesex, I think in 1924. And I went to various pre-prep schools in Edgware. And finally, went to UCS, University College School, Hampstead, to the junior school in Hollywell Hill, Hampstead. I left there when I was 12 and went to St Albans as a boarding school, and that's where I finished my education.
How old were you when that finished?
I was 18 when I left school.
So this is 1938 we're talking
Yes,
about.
Yes. Christmas 1938.
What happened to you in 1938?
Well, I was to go to Sandhurst, and I'd always intended to be a regular soldier. And I didn't take the exam and missed it because by that time we were into 39. And when I would have gone, which would have been in 39, I just wasn't there to take it. So I didn't do it. I had joined, meanwhile, a thing called the Officer Cadet Reserve. And that said that I would be considered for a commission in the Beds and Hearts Regiment, the 16th of Foot, which is our local regiment, and looked after the OTC at school. And then, of course, the war started, and I went up to London University in September. I think somewhere I've got the attestation paper downstairs. And I joined the army then and was given a half crown, but I wasn't called up straight away. Because I was then only 19, and they didn't want people at that age then. So I had to wait until 1940, I think it was July 1940, or June 1940, when I was finally told to report to the depot of the Middlesex Regiment at Mill Hill, and I started my training as a machine gunner.
How had you reacted in 1939 when you heard that we were at war with Germany?
Well, I was very, in a way, it's a terrible thing to say, but I was quite pleased because I thought of all kinds of things that I would have done, probably being out in India on the frontier and that kind of thing, and I thought that war might be not only interesting, but an exciting thing. I didn't realise, of course, the kind of stuff one was going to get involved in later on.
So where did you start your training with the Middlesex Regiment?
Well, that was at English Barracks, Mill Hill, which is very close to the Mill Hill East tube station, top of Bittersea Hill. It's an old barracks, and originally it was designed for the Brigade of Guards, but they didn't want to go there, and so we were given it. And it had been our depot for years and years and years. But that was all expanded by the time I joined it, and they had a hutted camp below where to take the increased numbers. Anyway, I started there as a potential officer because of this officer cadet reserve thing, and there was another man in my squad who was a similar kind of chap called Carruthers, Peter Carruthers, and we, after a couple of months, we were given a stripe. So we became acting unpaid lance corporals. And I suppose because of our OTC experience and that kind of thing, we knew a bit about military training. And so we were a help, I suppose, to the instructors in a way. Although, of course, we really didn't have much knowledge military-wise.
Which month in 1940 is this?
July, I think, July, August. And we used to see various battles above London when the Germans started to bomb daylight-wise in London. In fact, we had Vickers guns mounted on cartwheels in three posts in Bittersea Hill in the barracks there. And one or two chaps actually opened fire at German aircraft flying very low. I don't think they ever hit them.
Was it much of an advantage to have the guns mounted on cartwheels?
Oh, yes, because you could then swivel round fairly quickly. And they had, you had the box, the ammunition box, on the left-hand side, and you could swing the whole gun around, pointing up in the air, follow a target on a wheel.
Did you ever fire one yourself?
No. Fired lots of the gun, but I never fired an AKAC one on a wheel.
What else do you remember from being at Mill Hill?
I remember that the PT instructors were all very well-known footballers, and they were very fit men. They were all Army School of Physical Training, and very nice men too. And I remember one of them, and I've forgotten his name, he became Chelsea's manager after the war. They were good chaps, and they kept us very fit.
And the next thing that happened to you?
I can remember an amusing incident. We had those awful military bicycles which had a back-pedalling brake. And because it's very hilly, that depot, when soldiers passed an officer riding one of these terrible machines, they had to salute, and because they couldn't take their hands from the handlebars, they had to give an eyes left or an eyes right. And this caused several accidents when passing an officer, you had your eyes going right to the left and you rode into a brick wall in front of you. And one or two chaps went down long steps, lines of steps, and quite serious injury was caused by this. And so they stopped saluting on mounted bicycles.
Where did you go to after Mill Hill?
I went to 170 Octu, which was the machine gun Octu, and that was just moving when we went from Aldershot to Droitwich Spa, and where the recruit company was stationed in the late Brine Baths Hotel, which is right opposite a magnificent hotel with a lovely pub called The Raven. It's still there, very much in Droitwich. I think the Royal is still there too, but probably in very different shape to what it was when I was there. And then after a month there, or perhaps 6 weeks there, I can't remember.
What kind of experience did you have with the Octu at Droitwich?
Well, we were simply doing the kind of training that would teach us to be a platoon commander in a machine gun platoon, and we did a lot of theory on actual firing and the kind of beaten zones we could engage on the gun, and we did things like indirect shooting and that kind of thing. I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. And we went from there, from the recruit company, up to the main company, which was in a new camp, built outside Droitwich, about a mile outside Droitwich. When we got there, it was nothing but mud and snow, because it was winter time by then. And I remember I went on Christmas leave from there. We had 7 days leave, and then we came back. By this time, we were actually shooting live ammunition, including Mark 7, which gave us much greater range. And we were doing this up on the Malvern Hills. And on one particular exercise, I was the platoon commander and doing an indirect shoot, and the farmer had not moved the sheep off the ground that we were firing at. And the linear target I was given, I hit very well, but also managed to kill 7 sheep as well. And these were carted off by our butchers and cooks, and so everyone had quite a good meal of not lamb, but mutton, if you like. So I was quite popular having done that. I don't think I was very popular with the farmer, but I never had to pay anything.
Can you tell me what a beaten zone is?
Oh, the beaten zone, yes. Well, from the begun firing, and I can't remember what rounds a minute we did, but you have a kind of a loop, and the bullets will go in that loop. They'll be spread all over it. And if you do taps on the gun, you fire and then knock it along a couple of degrees, then fire again, a burst of, say, 25 rounds, tap it again, and you can cover a tremendous beaten zone. And that will nearly always kill anyone that's in that beaten zone. One of the bullets will get them somehow.
You were just about to tell me about After Droitwich, I think.
Oh, After Droitwich. Well, yes, I was commissioned on 4th of April, 1941, I think. Yes, it was. And we were sent back to the depot. Of course, I met various other cadets in the company. There were probably 50 or 60 of us. And we went to various regiments. But, of course, in those days, there were only really four machine gun regiments. Middlesex, 5th Fusiliers, Cheshire's, and Manchester's. There were some TA outfits of the Argylls and the Devon Regiment, I think, battalions that were also had machine guns. So it was a fairly restricted number of regiments that people could go to. And I chose, of course, to go back to my own regiment, the Middlesex Regiment. And together with about six other new officers, we went back to the depot at Mill Hill, where we were given a young officer's course of another month, which was, again, more technical stuff of indirect firing and things like that. And also, of course, the history of the regiment, which was drummed into us.
Why is it referred to as indirect firing?
Oh, indirect means that you'd be firing at night, and you'd be firing not over a line of sight, but you'd be firing at an aiming lamp that you put out. And that is indirect. Exactly the same as gunners fire indirectly.
And your next step?
Oh, from there, yes, I was posted to the 70th Battalion of the Middlesex Regiment. Most regiments had 70th Battalions, and they were known as Young Soldiers Battalions. And the one I was posted to, the 70th, was stationed at Hurst Park. Hurst Park was a race course in northwest London, and we took over the race course there. And I joined it at that place and was sent out to A Company, which was in a village called Ham, a delightful village just off Richmond Park. And we were doing guard duties in Richmond Park, which had been closed to the public. And in there were the initial radar appliances, with caravans, with things going round, and they were doing radar plots. And also at the school, which was, I can't remember the village, the next village towards Richmond, they had a lot of boffins there teaching people how to record and how to run these machines. And we had to guard them. It was somewhat difficult because we had to go and visit when we were a duty officer, to go and visit these posts in the middle of Richmond Park. And we had motorcycles with those very odd little lights. You really couldn't see where you were going. It was very, very dicky at night when it was a very dark and moonless night. And I once managed to hit something. I knew what it was. It was a deer that had crossed in my path. I fell off, but didn't hurt myself, and the bike was all right. Managed to get up again. But that was an added... hazard, having these deer kind of wandering about the place. And the other thing that was interesting in there are ponds in Richmond Park, known as the Pen Ponds. And these were drained, completely drained. And they built a most extraordinary lot of troughs. They were made of corrugated iron. And what they used to do was to, whenever we had a raid on, and the alarms had gone off, they would manage to put petrol, masses of petrol down these troughs. They were about 50 yards long, I suppose, and they stretched over a good half, three-quarters of a mile. and they would light this petrol. And the object was to make the German aircraft think that they had set places on fire with their bombs, and therefore they would drop them in the middle of Richmond Park into the Penn Ponds. As far as I know, certainly all the while I was there, which was about 4 months, 5 months, no bomb fell on Richmond Park at all. So it really was a most expensive business that didn't do very much good.
Coming back to the 70th Middlesex.
70th.
70th Middlesex. How young did you have to be a young soldier in such a time?
I think you could join at 16, I think. And there were, between 16 and 20, the soldiers were, apart from much older NCOs. I mean, old enough to be the boys' fathers, the sergeant majors and people like that. And they were chaps who were not usually terribly fit, had some ailment, and therefore couldn't serve in the normal battalions.
What did you...
The officers were roughly the same, apart from the young officers. My company commander, for instance, had First World War medal ribbons.
What did you think to that system of having a 70th battalion?
Well, I thought it was quite good, because what happened was, when they became 18 and went on to what was called man service, then they were transferred to one of the service battalions. And the trouble is, they wouldn't have been trained as machine gunners, because we didn't have machine guns. We were just ordinary infantry, the 70th Battalion.
Any other memories from serving with that battalion?
Well, I did a lot of motorcycling in the park, and I've always been a keen motorcyclist and did a lot of trials riding and that kind of thing for the battalion then. We had motorcycle trials as a means of showing, approving whether you could really take messages on a bike or not, and I enjoyed all that. Yes, I do remember one thing. I was very young and inexperienced, and I was the only officer in the headquarters, which was a lovely house on Ham Common, which now belongs to the late Master of Horse, and I can't remember his name, but anyway, it's a beautiful house. And I was in the clerk's office when an extraordinary chap, a household cavalry, appeared in riding breeches, spurs, and God knows what else, and a very smart cap as a captain. And he had, instead of a swagger cane or a whip, he had an old squash racket handle without the strings on it, which he kept on banging on these field boots that he had on. And he said to me in a very loud voice, "Are you the OC?" And I said, no, I'm just a platoon commander in the company. "Where's the OC?" And I said, "I'm terribly sorry, I don't know. Where's the 2IC? I didn't know where he was. And so he said, "Well, I'm Staff Captain Swill." So I said, "Good morning, Captain Swill," which was really a rather stupid thing to say. But he was the staff captain from London District who looked after the Swill. And he then said, "I wish to see the Swill bins." And there, alongside the cookhouse, and they had all kinds of bits and pieces thrown into them where the chaps didn't want to eat. And, of course, this was just after breakfast. We went down to the dining room, and we looked into the swill bins, and I was astounded to see whole kippers and things just thrown away. And this chap was furious and said we were a very wasteful unit, and his report would indicate so. And off he went. I told the company commander at lunchtime that I'd had this conversation with Captain Swill. And he said, "Oh, don't bother. He often comes around here and bothers us." And that was Captain Swill episode.
This is 1941, I think.
This is 1941, yes.
Had you by now at all experienced any German bombing?
Well, there was. Nothing fell on Richmond Park, and I don't think anything fell on Richmond, but we could see what was happening in London. And I do remember coming back to my... I'm going back a bit now to the depot. I remember coming back home on my motorcycle and passing a great convoy along the old Barnet bypass and what is known as today the Hendon Way, nose to tail of fire engines and their trailers from Hertfordshire and various county things going to London, because we'd had the first very bad bombing of the city of London, and it was on fire. That's going back a bit. But I don't remember anything from I was stationed at Ham Common.
What happened to you next?
Well, by this time, I was getting a bit fed up with guarding ammunition dumps and radar and things like that. And I wanted to get more active, as it were. And I saw in an ACI that there were volunteers requested for parachuting duties. I knew that there were some people who were already trained as parachutists because I'd seen pictures of it. And I thought this would be a thing for me. And so I applied, and after about 3 weeks or so, I was told to report to an interview at a part of the War Office, which was Hobart House, which later became the Coal Board place after the war. And I was interviewed by a chap called Major Lathbury, who later became Lieutenant General Lathbury. And he seemed to think that I was a suitable kind of chap. And he said, well, you'll hear in due course. And sure enough, in about a week, I was told that I had to report to a place called Stoke Roch, a place called Hardwick Hall, which was near, in Derbyshire, near the town of
Chesterfield,
yes. So I went up there, and on the train, I met another Middlesex officer, much older than me, called Keith Mountford, who was had been actually with an ACAC unit. And he was a qualified solicitor, and he had a little dog with him, I remember. And we went up there together, and we became very firm friends. And we were still firm friends until his death some 20 years later. But we arrived at Chesterfield Station, and we were met by a very brusque Scotsman who said, get out of the train. And that was Alistair Pearson, later of great fame, commanding the 1st Battalion. And he was then the second in command of the newly formed 2nd Battalion. And so we were taken to Hardwick Hall, where we had another one of these camps just built, full of mud, not completed, and very little fuel. And I was told by the adjutant, who was John Frost, later Major General John Frost, that I was to be posted to A Company, and I was to be the platoon officer for number one platoon. And so I went to A Company, commanded by the then Geoffrey Pine Coffin of the Devon Regiment, and Keith Mountford was another platoon commander, and Slapsy Brayley, later Lord Brayley, was another platoon commander. He had number three. Eventually, Rand, the second in command, he was posted somewhere, or he hurt himself parachuting, I can't remember, but Keith Mountford became the second in command, and he was a very good second in command. And we had another officer come in, who was named Alexandra, who was from the Irish Fusiliers. So that was the company was commanded by Pine Coffin. Keith Mountford was the second in command. I had one platoon. Brayley had three, and the two platoon was Alexandra. And that was a lot. Wonderful Sergeant Major called Tite, who later became the RSM, and later Lieutenant Quartermaster Tite. The secret mess, I can't remember his name. Anyway, my sergeants were very good, and what I asked to do, because I had about 10 Middlesex soldiers, I asked if we could perhaps form a Middlesex platoon, and this was thought to be a good idea, and lots of chaps who were in other companies were transferred to A Company in order to serve in one platoon, and eventually I had mostly Middlesex soldiers.
Which month did you arrive at Hardwick Hall?
Oh, I think that was mid-September 41, or early September, because the battalion was formed, I think, on the 4th of September 41, I think.
Sorry, which battalion was it?
This was the 2nd Battalion. The two battalions that were forming at Hardwick were the 2nd and 3rd Battalions. The 1st Battalion was away still at near Ringway, a place near Ringway. And they later joined us at Hardwick. But my battalion was commanded by a man called Favell, EWC Favell, in the Middlesex Regiment. And he had three military crosses, I remember, from the First World War. And the brigade was commanded by Brigadier Richard Gale, who later became General Sir Richard Gale. And the 3rd Battalion was commanded by Lafferty, who interviewed me, the original, as a lieutenant colonel. Very tall man. And we had a pretty awkward time there. We did our parachute training at Ringway. We went off to do that. And I think by Christmas we were all trained. Well, we'd all done 7 jumps, so hardly call that complete training, but nevertheless, we were all trained. And you know, what I was trying to say was 7 jumps doesn't really make a parachutist who can control things as he should be able to. You need a bit more experience. Are we still recording?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
How was the training at Ringway conducted?
That was very training. In those days when I went and all our chaps, we had Army and Air Force instructors. And some of the Army instructors, when the Royal Air Force took over the thing completely, they came to the battalion. And one of them became a great friend of mine, eventually my company sergeant major, Ted Dent, who is still around and still alive, an ex-guardsman, an ex-grenadier. And we did various exercises from Hardwick. And I remember on one occasion we were taken to Ringway to do an exercise. And when we came back, they said, oh, we're going to fly you back to Hardwick. This was just one company, I think. I don't know whether it was all A company or not. But anyway, I was one of the chaps jumping. And we flew to Hardwick, and we dropped on a DZ, which was an airfield they'd made at the top of the hill along by the hall. A very difficult strip, and lots of heavy trees around it. And a whole lot of people were up there to watch us come back. And it really was quite a good jump. I suppose about 50 or 60 of us dropped, and only about 4 got hooked up in the trees, and it was really quite a success. That was the first time, and the last time, actually, I jumped into Hardwick. So from then on, we started to do more and more exercises, and then it was decided in, I think, December 41, that various subalterns should go to the small arms school to really become proficient in small arms and then be able to instruct the men accordingly. And I went to, just after Christmas, I went to the small arms school, which was then at the old rifle ranges at Bisley. It was bitterly cold, and of course the places we lived in were the summer bungalows of the various rifle clubs, and they had no heating. It really was dreadful. And I remember I had my car with me still in those days, and I managed to crash it through a roundabout at the bottom of Brookwood by the station, which rather bent the front wheels. And I had to go home and borrow a breakdown truck from a garage friend of mine and another friend on the Sunday. We towed it back home. That was the last I saw of it. Anyway, we then moved down to Bulford Camp. That is the brigade. In the meanwhile, the 1st Battalion had arrived in Hardwick, and so the 3 battalions, 1, 2, 3, and brigade headquarters, went down to Bulford Camp, where we met all kinds of other units just forming into part of the 1st Airborne Division, a kind of thing that we were alongside, where the field squadron, 1st Para Field Squadron, and the Park Field Squadron, and the medics there.